10 to 1, episode 199, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Today, I am going to do a small solo series discussing the Harry Potter books and movies. This could be interesting. It could be awful. We're going to find out together. I am probably not going to be breaking any new ground here. There's probably people who have, you know, really delved into the deep things of Harry Potter and dissected them till there's nothing left. And this is just going to be a very shallow dive of me just talking about what I liked and didn't like about the books and the movies. So background here is I did not grow up watching Harry Potter or reading the books because those were the devil's books. They were about witches and wizards and magic, and so therefore not fit for Christian consumption. Now, we read the Narnia books, which are rampant with magic, but that's different. That's very different. So anyway, one day as an adult, I decided I was going to watch the movies. I watched the movies first, gasp, and I just loved them. And then I went and read the books, and if you look at my Goodreads reviews, they're not too favorable at the beginning. They get better as the book series goes on. I think I gave the first book 2 stars, and I said that the movie was better than the book. I have since grown up, and I say that the book is fantastic. But we'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, since I watched the movies before reading the books, and I didn't grow up with this series, I do not have preconceived notions of what it should be like. Now, you definitely should read the books. They're fantastic books. They are, it's very full of good versus evil. If you're a Christian and you're like, I don't think we should be reading those. There's some really strong, great values that are emphasized of friendship and of staying true to what's right. And not choosing the easy route, not burying your head in the sand when choosing to ignore, the rise of evil, saying hopefully, you know, if I pretend it isn't there, it'll, you know, it won't actually happen, you know. Just a lot of great stuff in there. A lot of dark things too. But I think the series grows and evolves as Harry grows. You start out with him at 11 years old, and then I think the books follow him till he's 18, and they get progressively more mature with each book. And I think that's fitting. I think they're masterfully done. As I've been reading through these, I have just been devouring them, frankly. I think J.K. Rowling is a fantastic author. Not just for this. I've read some of her other books, and she's done a terrific job on those as well. Definitely go check out J.K. Rowling's books or some of her stuff where she was under a pen name, Robert Galbraith. Those are on my to-read list. Anyway, getting back on topic, you should read the books. The movies cannot be comprehensive enough to cover everything. I remember when I was first watching the movies, I kept on having questions because I didn't know anything about the story or the plots. And I'd be like, wait, how did we get to here from this? And so then I'd look things up on Wikipedia and then get a few spoilers on some things that were coming up accidentally. So I think all things considered, they've done a very good job with these movies. They follow the books pretty closely. Where they differ Usually the elements left out are fine to be left out. They're not that big of a deal. But there's usually just a lot of background info that is really gonna flesh everything out for you. And they just don't have time to cover that in the movies. Now, the whole point of my doing this series is that there are some scenes where the movie portrays it really well. In a few rare cases, say better than the books. And I have some friends who are purists, and they have, even though they own the series, they've never watched it because they got partway through the first movie and said, "I'm done." Well, look, guys, if you're judging all of the movies based off of the first movie, that's a mistake, okay? You need to watch them. If they're worth watching, they're good. And that's what I'm hoping to change your mind about with this little series. And also, I just wanted to share my thoughts. Okay, so we're going to start with the book pros and cons. And then we'll do the movie pros and cons. So the book pros, frankly, I have almost nothing negative to say. Rowling has such a gift in writing for children in such a way that is entertaining. Like, you start out with Harry just being beat up by the Dursleys. But it's so funny. And the movie captures this part pretty well, too. Anyway. It's so much fun, and she captures the wonder of that, like what it would be like to just completely escape into this whole different world. I certainly could never have come up with anything like this. Well done, J.K. Rowling. There is a quote at the end of the book where Dumbledore is talking to Harry, and he says, throughout the book, everybody's afraid to even mention Voldemort by name. So they just say, "You know who." And at the end, Dumbledore says, "Call him Voldemort, Harry. Always use the proper name for things. Fear of a name increases fear of the thing itself." So if you're a Christian and you're listening to this and you're like, "I don't know if people should be, you know, listening to or reading or watching Harry Potter." It's full of stuff like this. Like, this is good. This is solid. Really, anyway, I'll stop preaching. Stop ranting. Now, I said I have almost nothing negative to say about The Philosopher's Stone. I have two things, actually. So, number one is that Rowling does a little bit of an easy pass for herself with Lily Potter's love for her son. So I buy it for a once-off where Voldemort is trying to kill Harry, and the killing curse reflects back at him because she sacrificed herself. But then to use it again 11 years later at the end of book one, and that's again how Voldemort is destroyed, because he can't bear to touch Harry. It just, because of his mother's love for him, it feels a little cheap. I don't know, but just my thoughts. All right. Second con is Hagrid. I know everybody loves Hagrid. He's a fun character, but, it's so cheap in this first book that this all-wise, all-knowing headmaster entrusts this doofus to protect the most valuable thing in the world, the Philosopher's Stone, that can grant immortality and endless riches, like the two things that people are always wanting to get, and as Dumbledore says, the two things we most should not get as much as we want of. So, anyway, Dumbledore needs to stop entrusting him with really important stuff or just get him sacked, because he's an idiot and he can't hold his tongue. All right. But, you know, of course, he hangs around, so whatever. All right. On to the movie pros. So the casting is spot on, nearly. And there's two very notable exceptions. But The kids are cute. The Dursleys are perfectly horrible. I mean, not just in how people, everybody looks, but in the way they act is so perfect. Alan Rickman, who plays Snape, is on fire. He's my favorite character in the whole series. And that was always the case. The moment I saw him, like every scene he's in, he's fantastic. I think Mr. Ollivander that sells the wand to Harry, he's better than in the book. In the book, he's kind of creepy. But he's a shrewd yet kindly old man in the movie. McGonagall is equal parts stern yet warming. And then Voldemort is just disgustingly revolting. So well done, movie producers on that. I think they did a great job with the castle. It looks like a very magical castle. I liked that Potter, and this is one area I think that's better in the movie than in the book. Potter confronts Malfoy in front of all the other first years at Hogwarts rather than on the train. So Malfoy is like, hey, you got to choose what side you're on. You want to be on. You want to be careful about choosing who you're going to be friends with. And Harry says, I think I can choose by myself on my own who I want to be friends with. And I like that he does that in front of everybody. There's this call to, it's the first step of choosing what's right over what would be easier to just suck up to somebody who's apparently famous, you know, and wealthy. And so I like that over just this private little hash out that happens on the train in the book. I like that in the movie, Harry Potter has to choose for himself at the end if he will accept or reject the power Voldemort offers. I don't think that was in the book, but in the movie, like Voldemort says, you know, join me, help me out, and, you know, we'll do great things together. And Potter has to choose for himself. No, this is evil. I will not take part in this. And then last but not least, the movie did a fantastic job with the Mirror of Erised. That part is just so, it's so still. Like, usually the rest of these books and movies are like there's a lot of action and things are happening. But you've got this moment where Harry is just looking into this mirror and he sees his mother and father, the things he most wants. And like his mother puts her hand on his shoulder in the mirror and he reaches up to see, can I actually feel her hand? No, it's just there in the mirror. And she smiles at him as if she's just so pleased to see him and so proud of him. And it's just this utterly charming and yet breaking scene. And I love it. I ate it like candy. Now, to wrap this up, I've got the movie cons. And it has to do with the casting. We'll start with the less controversial one first. And that is Firenze, the centaur. He just plain looks awful. And it really dates the movie. I realized that it's the best they could do with CGI at the time. But I think I'd prefer they just wouldn't have tried at the time. It looks bad. But, you know, it's nothing compared to Dumbledore. And that's my second casting issue. I'm sorry to my friend who has a different opinion with me about this. But Dumbledore in the first two movies is an old fart, sitting on the edge of his grave, dangling both feet in. He's like, he's just barely alive. He can barely talk in this old hoarse whisper. You can't imagine him as this powerful wizard who is the only wizard who makes Voldemort afraid. No. He looks like this old man dressed up in a nightgown a fancy nightgown, but he's even got a nightcap with a little tassel. I mean, it just looks ridiculous. The costume, the way he acts and speaks, I'm sorry. And then on top of that, they did not show his sense of humor. So at the beginning of the Great Feast, when everybody is first joining in to celebrate the first year of school and stuff, he stands up and he's like, I have a few words to say. And then he says four nonsensical random words and says, all right, let's eat. And that's just his style of humor. It's like, haha, I said some words instead of I had this long, lengthy address to start school. He's practical and yet funny. And then at the end, Harry asks him, oh, what did you see in the mirror, sir? He says, oh, I saw myself wearing some warm socks. One can never have enough woolen socks. You know, they missed that. They completely missed that Dumbledore has any sense of humor in this movie and in the second movie. Now, once you get the new actor, the real Dumbledore, that's where you see his eyes twinkle and the little sly sense of humor. And I love it. Anyway, this hashtag not my Dumbledore in these first two movies. So those are my thoughts. If you like them, if you hated them, write in feedback. Send your email at tto@kozer.us. And there will be six more installments of this Harry Potter series. Until next time, I'm Melissa Kozer, and you've been listening to 10 to 1. All right, I'm here after the credits, and I'm joined by Lydia and Amber, my two oldest, because they have been allowed to read the first book and finally watch the first movie. And so we're going to get their thoughts on the matter. Lydia, who is your favorite character?
Well, in the book, my favorite characters are probably Fred and George, but in the movie, they aren't as funny as in the book. So I would probably say, well, Hagrid's pretty great, but I like all the characters.
Okay, what about you, Amber?
Dumbledore, too.
Dumbledore's pretty great.
All the professors are pretty good.
Okay, go ahead, Amber.
I think my favorite character in the book is probably all the Weasleys and Harry Potter. But in the movie, I think Hagrid and Hermione are pretty great.
Okay. Who's your least favorite character?
Well, my least favorite character, are we talking about, like, looks and stuff?
But, it can be whatever.
Well, I think in the movie they made Snape look pretty great, and Malfoy they did a good job on, too. In the movie, probably my least favorite, I mean, any time, like in the book, probably be Malfoy, but by looks, Professor Quirrell, I have always imagined him much older and much different.
I am pretty much the same as Lydia. I don't have one much.
Okay.
I just think they're all pretty bad and pretty good.
Lean in closer. Okay. All right. What is something that you thought the movie did really well?
I think the part where there's owls, so many different kinds of owls are perched out everywhere on roofs, all over.
Oh, outside Harry's house? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Oh, I think the movie did really well on Dudley and Uncle Vernon, Aunt Petunia. And it's pretty much everything in the movie is exactly how I imagined it.
except for Professor Quirrell, and maybe I didn't imagine Snape that exact way, but their version is just as good.
Okay. What's something that you think the movie should have done differently? Or that you wish they had included that they didn't?
I think they should have put Peeves in.
Peeves the poltergeist.
I think Peeves is one of the best characters.
Okay.
Same, I agree.
Okay, Amber.
I was devastated when I knew that they had not included Peeves. It was just... It's just hard to...
Hard to imagine the school without him, huh?
Yeah, it's so hard.
Okay. Is the book perfect?
Yes.
Do you think there's anything that could have been done differently or better about it?
No.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks.
Well, maybe if I thought about it, about all the parts, but...
It's a pretty great story, isn't it?
Yes.